Good morning, everybody. Welcome to September. Time's just flying by, isn't it? Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, for the work you're going to do in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Just reveal it to us. Open it up for us, Lord. I pray for your blessing on it. I pray for your blessing on your people today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Create in me a clean heart, O God. That's from Psalm 51. Psalm 51, I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 and 7 through 12. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Verse 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. There's another psalm that's very similar to it. It's Psalm 32. I'm going to read the first five verses of that. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Why do we need that? Because we're human and we fall down a lot, don't we? Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can understand it? Who can predict what it will do? We're liable to do anything, aren't we? Under the right circumstances or under the wrong circumstances. Clean heart. Ezekiel 11:19 through 20 says, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh. That they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them. And they shall be my people and I will be their God. Ezekiel 36:25 and through 27. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Jeremiah 32:29, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. Jeremiah 24:7, and I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Our heart is the seat of our emotions. It's where our will is. Our heart is that which gets us into trouble, isn't it? David wrote this psalm. He also wrote the other one that I read from, Psalm 32. I think Psalm 51 was his prayer, his asking God to forgive him. And I think Psalm 32 is his testimony. His saying that God had forgiven him, and testimony of witnessing about what God had done for him. David was a man after God's own heart. The Bible says that. And it shows it through most of his life, just his seeking after God. Many of the Psalms he wrote, and he wrote probably close to half of them, maybe more than half of them. Some of them aren't attributed to anybody, but the wording seems to be that of David in many of them. In a lot of them, it shows him seeking after the Lord. It shows him trusting in the Lord. It shows him not understanding everything that's happening, but yet trusting in God no matter what. A man after God's own heart. And yet one night when he didn't go to war with Joab and the army, says he got up off his bed, I think it was late afternoon, which makes you wonder what he was doing. I guess he was taking a nap. I don't know. I have to admit, I do that myself sometimes. But he looked out his window, and he saw a woman named Bathsheba, who was the wife of one of his soldiers, one of his mighty men. It's listed in Chronicles, his mighty men. Uriah was one of them, one of his brave, courageous soldiers. Saw his wife, David saw his wife taking a bath on a rooftop. And he sent his servants to get her and to bring her to him. She came to him. What's she going to do? She going to say no to the king? Anyway, he slept with her, and she sent him a message saying, I'm with child. And so he sent to have Uriah, her husband, come home for a few days or spend some time at home, hoping that it would all be covered up. But Uriah wouldn't cooperate. He wouldn't go home. He said, I'm not going to go home as long as my fellow soldiers are out there fighting a battle. And David got him drunk, and he did everything he could, but Uriah wouldn't go home. And so David sends him back to the war. And he sent him a sealed message to Joab saying, put Uriah in the heat of battle in the front. Basically have him stand there in the front row and have everybody else step back. And Uriah was killed. After he was killed, David married Bathsheba. And they had a son. And things went okay after about a year or so after his sin. Nathan the prophet came and confronted him. God sent Nathan the prophet to confront him. We can't hide our sins from God, can we? And Nathan the prophet came and he told a parable about a man that had a ewe lamb. And basically it was, even though this other guy had a lot of lambs that he could use, that he could make use of, he chose to take someone else's ewe lamb instead. And it was a parable. It was about what David had did. David didn't recognize that at first. David got real angry and said, that guy should be killed. And Nathan looked at him and says, thou art the man. It's you, David. You're the one that did this. How did David react? 2 Samuel, chapter 12, David says, I have sinned against the Lord. David didn't make any excuses or blame others. You notice in our scripture that I read, it says in verse 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. He didn't blame Bathsheba. He didn't blame Uriah. He didn't blame the weather. He accepted full responsibility for what he did. You know, we see examples in the Bible where people didn't accept full responsibility exactly. Genesis 3, chapter 11 through 13. And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom you gave us to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat." It's her fault, Lord. In fact, since you gave that woman to me, it's kind of your fault too, isn't it? Do we ever blame God for things we do? And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." The devil made me do it. You know, he only makes us do something when we don't resist him. Exodus 32, 21 through 25 is another example. And Moses said unto Aaron, "What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them?" And Aaron said, "Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief." You know these people, it's their fault. "For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him." Besides, Moses, you were supposed to be here and you weren't here. It's your fault. And then one of the most incredible lines in all of Scripture. "And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me. Then I cast it in the fire, and there came out this calf." I don't know. I just took the gold and threw it in the fire, and a calf came out. It's not my fault. We can always find excuses, can't we? We can always find other people to blame. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy mercy, tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." We see three words there for sin. And it's all sin. We see the word sin. Sin is an offense. It's a deliberate offense. It literally means to miss the mark. We aim to do one thing and we do something else. Seems like sometimes the only time we can hit the mark is when we aim to sin, right? Second word is transgressions. Transgression signifies separation, a rending apart, or a departure. And it seems to express the notion of apostasy or rebellion, going away. All sin, of course, is going away, isn't it? Going away from what? Going away from the way we should be living, the things we should be doing. But it's also going away from God, because our sin, our transgression separate us from God. All sin is a departure from God. It's the rebelling against, the wandering away, and the separation from God. Iniquity means something twisted or distorted. It means to go astray. Now, how are those two similar? There is a Russian czar that his people came to him. They wanted to build a railroad. And I get the impression it was probably maybe the first railroad they had in Russia. It's back a long time ago. They wanted to build a railroad from St. Petersburg to Moscow. So they brought a map to him and they said, "Choose the route where you want this railroad to go." So he took a pen and he drew a straight line. "This is where I want it to go." The straightest line to heaven from earth or the quickest way to get, there's a straight line, or there should be a straight line. What happens when we wander? What happens when we stray off? Our path gets distorted. It gets twisted. So when we go astray, we're not sticking to a straight path, are we? Psalm 32, 1 and 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. Three words, or three terms. First one is forgiven. What does forgiven mean? Literally, it means lifted up. It means the burden of sin has been lifted off of us. We're not designed to carry the weight of our sins. To carry it on our shoulders. Jesus carried it on his shoulders, didn't he? In the form of a cross. Of course, we have to receive that. Everything that God has for us is ours if we receive. Forgiven is to be, means lifted off or carried away. Whose sin is covered. Covered means to hide from God's sight. 51 verse 16 says, for thou desirest not, nope, never mind. 51:9. Getting ahead of myself. It says, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. There really isn't any difference between God hiding his face from our sins and hiding our sins from his face, is there? There's something that happens in a beehive when something foreign gets into that beehive. If the bees can't carry it away, they'll take wax and they'll cover it up so it's not, so they can't see it. It's not in their sight. They cover it. Verse 51:9 says, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. To conceal. Imputeth not. To impute is to regard or to count. So he's saying, not regarded or not counted, not reckoned to an account. God has a ledger that he keeps with us. So if he imputes our sin, then he's literally blotting it out of his ledger book, isn't it? Verse 9 of chapter 51 said, blot out all mine iniquities. That means not to impute. Jesus imputed his righteousness to us on the cross. And he imputed to himself our sin. It says no guile. In Psalm 32, 1, 2, it says, in whose spirit there is no guile. That means to be honest and sincere with God, to be real. Can God spot a phony? Yeah. We try to fool God? Come on, Eve, let's hide behind these bushes and God won't know where we are. It's not going to work. It's not going to happen. Sometimes phonies are really easy to spot, aren't they? We notice that he says, whose transgression, where am I? I've got two texts and bouncing back and forth. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. He's going back and forth between plural and singular. He takes all the sins that he committed, David does, and he lumps them all together into one. because it's all like one offense before God. And he takes total responsibility for his actions. Paul said every one of us will give account of himself to God. That's in Romans 14:12. Every one of us will have to give an account to God for our actions. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. We see right spirit, Holy Spirit, and free spirit. A right spirit is a constant or a firm spirit. It's settled. It's consecrated to God. It's laying hold of God's strength, being firmly rooted in him. Holy Spirit leads to the other two and makes our spirits holy. What did David seek more than anything? He sought separation from his sins. And he sought separation or removal of the separation that he was experiencing with God. He had seen what happened with King Saul, his predecessor, who, when Saul was disobedient and rebellious against God, God took his spirit away from him. He saw the darkness that settled in and that changed his life. Separation. We are to want to be set apart for God's service. And we're also, we want to be separated from sin. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Free spirit. Now, depending on who you read, which commentator you read, there's two ways of looking at this. I believe they're both right. What's a free spirit? When we speak of free spirits, a lot of times we speak of somebody that does their own thing and goes their own way and doesn't worry too much about what anybody thinks. That's not what's meant here. What's meant here is for us to be free from sin, for us to be free to do the things that God wants us to do. But another way of looking at free spirit is God's free spirit. It means generous. It means willing. God provides his spirit for us at no charge, doesn't he? 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." His Spirit is free, and it makes our spirit free. Once again, free to do the things that he wants us to do. In verse 16, David said, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it." There was no sacrifice, no sacrificial provision for murder. And that's what David did. What he did was murder. You think about it, he did murder, he did adultery, and also I believe that what he did to Bathsheba was probably considered rape. Because it isn't really probably what she wanted to do. There's people might question that. You know, why was she out there taking a bath in the first place? Well, that's, they didn't have bathrooms like we have. I don't know if she knew that David would be watching or not. But the fact that he just sent his people to bring her back really gave her no choice. And as far as I'm concerned, that's a definition of rape. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." David had felt God's heavy hand upon him. said his bones waxed old through my roaring or my groaning, my moaning all day long. He had carried this with him. And I think David was, he was very tender-hearted to the Lord. And I believe that he was very, very sincere and wanted to do the things that God wanted to do. So he carried this with him for a year. And how did he get rid of it? How did he bring back, or how was he given back the joy of his salvation? Because when we turn away from God and do the things that he doesn't want us to do, we lose that joy. Today is Communion Sunday. And as we do every Communion Sunday, I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 32. And there's one verse in there, verse 38, that's probably, I think, it's the most important verse in that whole passage. It says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Otherwise, if we don't examine ourselves, if we don't come to terms with God for the things that we've done, for our unforgiven sins, maybe our attitudes to other people, then we're drinking and we're eating unworthily. So every Sunday, we take the time, or not every Sunday, every Communion Sunday, we take the time to examine our hearts while this is being passed out. I'm going to ask George and Bill to come forward and pass out the elements. And while they're doing that, I'm going to ask everybody to bow their head, just close yourself in with God and just speak to him. Ask him to reveal the things in you that aren't forgiven, that haven't been dealt with. I'm going to read our passage in 1 Corinthians all the way through, and then we'll partake. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when ye had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye drink this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord, unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge others, we should not be judged. For when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Jesus took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Lord, we thank you for the bread. We thank you, Lord, for what it represents, your body that was broken and given freely for us, for our sins. And we just thank you for it. You may eat the bread. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord, we thank you for the blood you shed. We thank you, Lord, for that blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, Lord, that makes our sins disappear, Lord, to the furthest parts of the earth. We thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness, for your gift of salvation. And we thank you for the blood that you shed. You may drink the cup.
Jesus, there's just something about that name, Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, for sending your Spirit to touch us today, Lord. And we pray, Lord, for that presence of that Spirit always in our lives, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord. Strengthen our will, Lord, to do the things of you, to seek your ways and your will. Lord, we just praise you and thank you. And we just ask you to be with us and go with us today, Lord, as we go about our day. And bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody. That concludes.